Everybody to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with Connie Farmer and Nan Watson. And it's a joy to be with you today on this beautiful Florida day. I don't know what it's like someplace else, but it's been a nice day. A little bit of cloud cover made it kind of nice.
Nice breeze.
But a nice breeze and just very pleasant, hadn't it been, Connie?
Perfect day to be laying in a hammock.
It would be
underneath some trees.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I used to have one of those. You remember the hammock I used to have a long time ago? Yeah.
I need to get one.
Fell apart and somebody fell and broke their neck. Or not really, but anyway. It was nice to have a hammock. But anyway, so welcome today. We're excited about talking about the presence of God in our lives. We've been really talking about it the last couple weeks, and God has just been showing himself so strong in our behalf that we could do a whole show, Nan, right now, 2 hours on answers to prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we could.
She said triumphantly, yes, we could.
Yes, we could.
Yes, we could. Right, because God really has been moving in our lives and doing some mighty things. It's really a there's a wind blowing, Connie.
Mm-hmm. Window change.
Yeah.
Shifting.
There's a shifting going on. There is a wind of God's Holy Spirit moving in, and in a new dimension. We've been talking about Kairos times, and we'll talk more about that today on the show. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. If not, you'll catch up here in a few minutes. The power of God working in people's lives. God is talking, and he's moving in people's lives, is he not?
If we let him.
Oh, if we let him. Now, that's profound right there, Nan. If we let him.
That's true.
Because we can short-circuit that process, can we not?
Sure. We can just throw it all off kilter by just not paying attention to it and going on about our way.
Right. Doing our own thing, you know? And that is so true for in so many people's lives that can get so caught up in the mundane, the day-by-day thing that we fail to see the spiritual, you know, what God's doing there.
Not only that, but, you know, things that drag us down, if they're not in tune with God and stay in touch with him, stay plugged in, it'll just wear them out.
Exactly. Yeah. The weariness of life, the day-to-day struggle, the day-to-day stuff that we've all got on, going on in our lives. You know, it's a matter of learning to practice his presence, and that's what this series is all about that we didn't know we were into until last week, didn't we, Nan? We just kind of, you know, it just developed, didn't it, during the show last week?
Yeah, God just moved. He just led and said, here's where you're going, and that's where we've been going.
Yeah. You know, one of the verses that I have just been hanging on to for my own life was what I started the sermon last Sunday with, which was not what I was going to do last Sunday. Last Sunday was one of those sermons that developed during the sermon.
Love it.
Love it. It's Rhema, fresh Rhema word. And some of you may not know what the word Rhema means. It's a Greek word for word. And it means when the word of God begins to just absolutely penetrate your heart and hit you right between the eyes. And you know, man, that's God. You know,
it's for you.
That's for you.
Specifically.
And the Greek word logos is always talking about just the Bible, the open Bible here, the written word. But when it's a Rhema word, when God comes and just knocks you for a loop, which he did to me last Sunday, now 1 week later, after the events of the week I've had, I actually really understand why the sermon was changed last week. Psalm 16, we're going to start with there, verses 7 and 8, and down to verse 11. 7, 8, and verse 11 of Psalm 16, written by, of course, David, and we've talked so much about David in the last several weeks. And reading from the NIV, Psalm 16, verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Praise God, he does counsel us, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. You and I are counselors, Connie, but he's the counselor, isn't he?
He's the one that does all
the work. He's the one that does it. I will praise the Lord who counsels me, and even at night, my heart instructs me. My heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I'm not going to get upset about what life brings because God's right there with me. And looking down at verse 11, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Wow. Isn't that cool?
Cool. In the Message?
Yes, read it in the Message.
The wise counsel God gives when I'm awake is confirmed by my sleeping heart.
Ooh.
Day and night, I'll stick with God. I've got a good thing going, and I'm not letting go.
Oh, that's good.
I'm happy with the inside out. I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I'm firmly formed. You canceled my ticket to hell. That's not my destination. Now you've got my feet on the life path, all radiant from the shining of your face. Ever since you took my hand, I'm on the right way.
Amen. Oh, yes. Cool. So we're on the right way. We're headed down the right path today. And we know where we're headed. We know where we're headed with this show, but we also know where we're headed with our relationship with the Lord. So, Nan, isn't it exciting to know that God is right there beside us, with us, no matter what we're going through?
It's very comforting to know that he's there, you know. And I think sometimes we forget, we don't realize, we don't pay attention, we don't tune in. Mm-hmm. He's there. He has.
We don't tune in.
We don't tune in. We don't tune in to him. I mean, he's there.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, in the midst of the trial that we may be going through or whatever, we try to see how can you be here in the midst of what is happening to me right now.
Exactly.
But he's there.
Right.
His word says he's there, and we can rest in the knowledge that he is there.
Yes, and that he loves us so very much, you know? So we've got some great music on this show today. Connie, you're our music director. I love what you do, and we just give you a little idea of where we're going. I mean, a lot of times it's, you never know. Couple words sometimes. And this first song is by the group Third Day, Born Again.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years. And the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. Well, I was lost when you found me here. And I was broken beyond repair. And then you song over me. It feels like I'm born again. It feels like I'm living for the very first time. For the very first time in my time.
Great song, Connie. I like that. We're so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61. Was not where I intended to start this show, but something happened a couple hours ago. And this is a passage that Jesus quoted in his first official sermon in Luke chapter 4 when he asked for the scroll to be handed to him so he could read. And he read out of this passage, Isaiah 61, 1 through 5. He said this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me," meaning Jesus, "to preach good news to the poor." That's why he came. And what we're doing today is going to be preaching good news to all you who are hurting in whatever aspect of your life. "And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." This show is going to help you, all those out there that are brokenhearted today. These are the words that Jesus quoted. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn." I believe there's going to be some people out there listening today who need some comforting, Connie and Nan. Mm-hmm. "To comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Woo! I was talking with my sister Karen a couple hours ago about our mother as I sat by her bedside. She's getting ready to go be with the Lord very soon. And we were talking about how Mom was doing, and we were both of us crying and talking. And we hung up, and Karen called back 5 minutes later and said that she had picked up Mom's Bible on the nightstand beside her bed and opened it to this passage. And she began to read it to me and cry and say that he does give us comfort. He does give us, you know, all that he says right here, the brokenhearted. He ministers to the brokenhearted. Karen said, "You know, it's not been something I've done through the years, just open it and it hits me, that rhema word." And she said, "This is for us right now." And I said, "Well, you probably don't know this, but that is the vision for Beacon of Hope. It was the vision for my church in Indiana, Cornerstone Ministry. And this is our vision, these five chapters. This is what, or five verses, this is what we're all about. That God has given us the anointing to heal the brokenhearted and to bring freedom to prisoners and comfort. Set the captives free." I mean, Connie, that's what it's all about, is it not?
Yeah, there are so many people that are so bogged down with the stuff in their lives. And the lies that people have told them.
Right.
The lies that Satan has told them.
Yes.
They can't even move.
Yeah.
They're just paralyzed.
Yeah. They're paralyzed. They just go about day by day by day, but not really allowing God's Holy Spirit to do the comfort. Nan, I don't know about you, but I think this is a word for the hour, that God wants to bring comfort and he wants to heal some broken hearts as we talk about his presence in our lives.
I believe you're right. I can look back on my own life and see when I wasn't doing that, you know,
right.
and I did receive freedom and deliverance after attending Beacon, but then I was bound up with a lot of stuff before.
Yeah. And then you began to realize you could be free from this stuff.
Yes, it was through the counsel of you and Connie. Yes, it was a very eye-opening experience, life-changing experience. It's been life-changing for me. My life has not been the same since then.
Right. And don't you think there's so many people out there listening right now that are going through such difficult times, whether it be the approaching death of a parent like I'm going through and my sisters are going through, or maybe it's financial struggle, maybe it's a job problem or relationship stuff. Whatever it is, I believe the world is hurting. Connie, the world is hurting.
Yeah. The amount of abuse that's going on between husband and wife and partners and parents and children.
Yes.
And I mean, it's just the sign of the frustration and the horrific times we're going through.
Right. But God says, I'm going to give you
hope. He can fix it.
He can fix it. He's the one who heals. He sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted. And that's why Jesus came to this earth. He came to show us the Father. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk today about practicing the presence of God, getting really up close and personal with God. So let's go to Judges chapter 6, where we were this morning at Beacon. And I tell you what, I had no intention. I say this, but it's the truth. This week, earlier in the week, I didn't know we were going to Judges. I really thought I was teaching out of Colossians, which is the book we're reading right now this month, of Beacon of Hope. But it ended up, we went to Judges, and God began to talk to me and to talk to us about Gideon, this wonderful man that really started out to feel that he was a nothing, that he was a nobody, that he had nothing to offer God, and how could God use him? And Gideon, his story begins in Judges chapter 6. So we're going to go there. The people of Israel had been in another one of their seasons of oppression. Now, I don't know about the two of you, but I know that a lot of people go through times and seasons where they just feel like they're totally and completely bogged down by life, by circumstances, by everything that's going on around them. And they feel like they can't even be, they can't find God. You know what I'm saying, Nan? Ever been there?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I sure have.
Ever been in a season where you're just like, we're away from God and not, yeah, you were still a believer, but you were just not like up close and personal with him.
Right. It was too involved with what was happening with me to stay too much in tune to him.
And doesn't that happen, Connie?
Distractions.
Distractions.
Life happens. And
right.
Chaos happens and crisis happens. Mm-hmm. You know, you lose your job or you lose a family member or a relationship breaks up or, you know.
Or all the above.
Yeah. Or all. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's even tougher.
Like, yeah, it's
when
like
you're doing everything,
all those knives,
right?
Up in the air.
Yeah,
one
right.
of them's going to come down and get you.
And it can be that way. And there might mm-hmm. be some in our listening audience today that are struggling with all kinds of huge
Absolutely.
Issues.
It's not. We don't just get one thing at a time.
Why
it's
is
a pile.
That? Why is that? Or is it because the older we get, it just seems like we go through a lot? Or is it that the closer we get to God, the devil tries to stop?
I was just getting ready to say,
yes,
the closer
go ahead,
we get
Nan.
To God, Satan wants to try to stop that.
That's
you know?
Right.
And so it sometimes the stuff will come at you in multiples.
It does.
And your season will be multiples of stuff.
Well, I tell you what, now that I'm a tad bit older than the two of you, just a little tiny bit, I will tell you that the older I get and the more I go through stuff, the more I hear God saying, praise me in spite of it. Love me in spite of what you're going through. Rejoice in my presence more than you ever have before. It's easy to rejoice and praise God when things are going good, don't you think?
Oh, it's very on top of the world. Everything's great. Everything's fine. Boy, I just praise the Lord. Absolutely.
But even though it's easy, then I think a lot of times we forget.
We do get slack in it. It's a trick that another trick that the enemy will.
He's got a whole bag of tricks
that we give into.
Right,
we give into that. You
right,
know, that's by our choice.
He's got a whole bag of those tricks.
Yeah.
And the children of Israel were in a mess for 7 years. The people of Midian had been stealing the people of Israel blind. And I did not really mention this as thoroughly, probably, as I want to right now. In John 10:10, Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I came to give you life and to give it abundantly. And when we open this story of Gideon in Judges 6, we see the children of Israel having been stolen blind. Their crops have been stolen out from under them by the people of Midian. They have no sheep or cattle. They really are barely living. You know, they're living in a time of great distress and stress. I don't know about y'all, but I kind of maybe haven't been exactly there, but I sure have been a time where I felt great distress and stress, you know? And this is where they were. And so they were in poverty. The word Midian means strife and judgment and contending. And I find that very interesting. Midian was actually one of the children of Abraham and his second wife, Keturah, after Sarah died. This was one of their children, Midian. And then as the years evolved, Midian was at odds with the true children of Israel over and over and over again. Midian was out to get them. You know, the people of Midian were destroyed once, but they popped right back up. And here they are, and you find them in the book of Judges, and they've come against Gideon so strongly and Gideon's people that they're all just beat down. They are totally browbeaten by the devil. Some of you out there today feel that way right now. You feel like you've been beat up. You feel like there is no hope for your situation, and that's how Gideon felt. And so God sent the children of Israel a prophet, and that is in verse 7. And the prophet said certain things here. So what is it? 7, 8, 9, and 10. You want to read them, Connie, those verses, starting with God sent a prophet with this message.
Do you want it in?
It doesn't matter. Go ahead with the Message Bible. That's fine. It starts out with one time when the people of Israel.
Yeah. One time when the people of Israel had cried out to God because of Midian, God sent them a prophet with this message. God, the God of Israel, says, I delivered you from Egypt. I freed you from a life of slavery. I rescued you from Egypt's brutality and then from every oppressor. I pushed them out of your way and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am God, your God. Don't for a minute be afraid of the gods of the Amorites in those lands you are living. But you didn't listen to me.
Isn't that interesting? Okay? Because God sends people into our lives to give us wisdom, to give us wise counsel, to say, wait a minute, let's remember what God's done here. Quit being so depressed, discouraged, defeated. Let's remember the answers to prayer. Let's remind ourselves of the goodness of the Lord. But so often people don't want to hear it. And man, why don't they want to hear it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
They don't want to surrender.
Because some, you know what? It could be that. It could be that kind of rebellion. It could be a desire to stay in the pity party.
Oh, people do like to do that.
They do?
They even like to invite people over to their pity
party. They invite people over to the pity party?
They don't normally go, but they
don't
do.
Normally go. What are you
thinking? Sometimes I think it's just that they're so beaten down, they just can't see
right. The
light of day.
Right. Absolutely. And they don't know how to get out of it. And even when there's somebody prophetically, like a sermon where the prophet of God or the man or woman of God is speaking, this is the rhema word for right now, they can't even hear it because their mind is so mumbled jumbled with all the junk that's going on. And that happens. I see sometimes as I'm preaching, some people looking at me like, huh? Like they're just not there, you know? And then others are like grabbing it like sponges and soaking it in. But so often in our lives, we go through periods of time where, you know, God's trying to get through to us through his word, through a minister, maybe through somebody on TV. What'd you start to say? Nothing. All right. Go ahead.
I want to say something about journaling.
Yeah.
Journaling. You know, when God does things for you, put it in a journal. And then when you have times of great barren in the land or whatever you're feeling, you know, because sometimes we forget some of those things. You know,
it
was big at the time.
Right.
God took care of it and we moved on with our lives.
Right.
But sometimes there's some smaller things that he's taking care of, too, that we forget about those because they're kind of smaller, but they were important at the time.
Absolutely.
Not to minimize the importance of them in our life, but it was something happening. You know, because I picked up a journal the other day and was reading some of it. I'm like, wow, how cool. I forgot about that.
That's so good.
I think if we could remind ourselves, you know, we can read in the Word where God did this for so-and-so and God did that for so-and-so, but when we can read in our journal and say, I remember when God did that for me, it becomes so much more personal.
Oh, that's a huge good idea. Absolutely. And so what we find right here with Gideon, and I hope y'all out there take Nan's suggestion because it works and she's right. So what happened is that the people of Israel, even though God was trying to remind them through a prophet, hey, God really wants to move in your situation. They weren't listening. They didn't want to hear. In fact, they were so beaten down and so full of fear and doubt that we find that Gideon was actually trying to thresh the wheat over by the wine press instead of where it should have been because of fear that the enemy would see what he was doing. And the wine press, they weren't even using the wine press in Israel right then because there were no grapes, because the Midianites had stolen their crop. So they couldn't even make wine. So what Gideon was doing was at night he was trying to thresh some wheat so they could make bread and have something to eat. And so he was in a place of fear. I did not mention this today, and I had written it in my Bible, and I want to mention it now. It's a quote that Graham Cook said. I listened to one of his CDs this week, and I love this. Doubt attracts attack. Doubt attracts attack. Okay? So when we are in a position, Connie, of really doubting that God's going to come through for us, it's like we're a magnet to more attack. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, it's like when, you know, you something bad happens, you say, what else is going to go wrong?
Oh,
you're
yeah.
just asking
oh, yeah.
for more to be loaded onto you.
Exactly.
And I always, when somebody says that, I said, you know what? Stop asking for it.
Right. Absolutely. Stop it right there. It's because our confession is so important mm-hmm. to what we receive. We can receive more junk coming at us. That's what this is saying, or what Graham Cook is saying. Doubt attracts attack. And we can get more of that coming towards us by our negative confession and by saying, oh, yeah, what's going to happen next to me? Oh, bad things always happen in threes. What's coming? You know, all that kind of negative stinking thinking. And when we start that and it comes out of our mouths, man, it takes us down a slippery slope, which we talked about last week on this show, the slippery slope of negativity and where it takes us. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good. Do you want to comment on that?
Do you want to share?
Do you want to share? Or you just want to say, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I do.
I just don't want
you
to just share.
Don't, you don't want to share. All right, that's fine. Maybe you will in a minute. Okay, so yes. Here we go. So one day, the angel of God came. All right, now God had tried to get to these people through a prophet. He had sent a prophet and said, you need to be remembering everything God's done. So point number one today, if you're taking notes, you need to, when you're in a bad way, you remember the answers to prayer. That's, Nan, your point about the journal. Excellent point. You put yourself in a position to sit down and remember. Sometimes you need to have a talk with yourself. Connie, do you ever have a talk with yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't sound real.
I don't always do a good job with that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nan, you talk to yourself?
I beat myself up too much.
Oh, you beat yourself up too much. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do. I talk to myself.
Do you ever kind of, you know, fire yourself up?
Yes, at times I have.
Well, I do. That's what I do. I mean,
I know you do.
How do you know I do?
It shows all over you.
When I'm having a really, when everything's coming at me like this past week, right. What I did two different mornings this past week, after I went to see my mother, I was very close to the causeway. I went out there for a few minutes and I sat there and it was very unbusy, which was nice. Not hardly anybody was around except some beautiful seagulls and some ibis walking around. And I just talk out loud to God. And I just look at what he's created and how beautiful it is. And I'm just sitting there and I'm just pouring this stuff out. And I begin to encourage myself in the Lord like David did. You encourage yourself mm-hmm. in the Lord. And that's why Psalm 16, 7, 8, and 11 have just majorly helped me this week, you know? And that we started the show with. And because he's at my right hand, I'll not be shaken, you know? Okay, I'm not going to be shaken up. I'm going to move forward with where God's taking me. And I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. That doesn't mean I'm not going to feel any emotion.
Right.
From time to time. But I am going to do what David did, and we taught on this a few weeks ago from 1 Samuel chapter 30, when the Amalekites had come and destroyed the whole town of Ziklag by fire and taken their wives and children. And all of David's army was getting ready to stone him and kill him because of it. And David sat down and encouraged himself in the Lord. He remembered the goodness of the Lord. That's what we're all about. Connie, you got something?
Psalm 121.
Go ahead. Oh, that's a good one.
What keeps going on through my mind is that song, this psalm put to lyrics, and it that the storm won't, nothing will touch me for
read it, go ahead and read it.
Okay.
It's on your heart, go ahead and read, just read the whole psalm. It's not only a few verses. Psalm 121.
I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No, my strength comes from God.
Amen.
Who made heaven and earth and mountains.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep. Not in your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always.
Ooh, you know,
that was the message.
Nan's got her King James.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it. Let's hear Psalm 121 and your King James. I've memorized it there many years ago. I will lift up my eyes.
I lifteth.
I lifteth.
It says I will lift, not lifteth.
Oh.
Are you lisping? Go ahead.
I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore.
Huge, wonderful psalm. That's God.
I like
God.
All those emphasis.
Yes.
I mean,
isn't that good? Yeah. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where's my strength come from? My strength comes from God. When I'm in the midst of the worst situations in my life, my strength comes from God.
It doesn't
God
say
will see
booze,
me through.
It doesn't say drugs.
Right.
It doesn't say sex. It doesn't say whatever.
It doesn't. It doesn't
says,
say any
hope
of those
and my
things.
Strength come from God.
Right. You know, and he's the one that lifts me up, and he's the one that turns my life around like he did Gideon's life here. Even when we're in dire circumstances, listening audience, please hear me. You can have everything in your life absolutely in total turmoil, and totally upside down all at the same time, and still God is your strength, and he's going to see you through, and he's going to do it moment by moment. He's been holding my hand all week long, moment by moment, through everything I've been through. And it's just like one more thing each day. Oh, wow, another thing to deal with. But still, through it all, he's my strength. He's my guide.
Through it all.
Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. That good old song. We've done my dad's favorite song. Through it all, mm-hmm. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. And that's what it's about. And that's exactly what we have to do. Here's Gideon. Gideon is in a bad scene. And God himself comes down and sits down and talks to Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love the fact some of these Old Testament heroes had Christophanies, which means a physical appearance of God come to them. And I, you know, most of us don't have that. Except that I was just telling the two of you right before we went on the air that I just spent the last 2 or 3 hours with my mother who's dying, and she has Alzheimer's, and she's had it for a number of years. And so we're right at the last few days or few weeks, probably days. And today when I was there with her, she was actually awake and alert, and I was talking to her and about the Rays, and I had the game on because, you know, we used to go to the games. Mom and Dad would go to the Rays games by themselves, even if none of us could go. They would get tickets and go, just crazy Rays fans, you know.
Did they win?
Today? Well, mm-hmm. They wasn't over when I left. It was tied. And so we were sitting there and talking about baseball, or I was. She wasn't talking, not able to talk. But then she began to have this conversation with somebody else in the room, looking up over here to the right. And this went on for 2.5 hours. This is a person who hasn't hardly been awake at all in the last few weeks. And now she's wide awake and she's mumbling stuff I cannot understand. And just absolutely caught up in this conversation and doing things with her hands. And I began to say, are you talking to Dad? No. And so several times of that, the bottom line of that was every single time I asked her today, 4 or 5 times, if she was talking to Jesus, she said yes and went right on mumbling and looking up there, you know. And I think so often that when we are even in the direst circumstances of near death, God is there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in a form we can't see with our naked eye, but we can feel him, you know? And mm-hmm. I know she was talking to Jesus. She kept telling me she was. So I'm believing her, you know, that that's what was going on. Go ahead.
Well, it's the same God that comes to our services every Sunday, you know.
Yeah, he always shows up.
We always know when he's there, you know. I mean, he's there all the time, seriously. Right. But his presence is more known to us at various times.
Mm-hmm.
More apparent.
More apparent. Mm-hmm. And here's Gideon and the whole people of Israel. They've been told by a prophet, chin up, guys. Hasn't God always delivered you? And yet they're still discouraged and still defeated. And so we see in verse 11, the one day the angel of God, which is God himself, not the angel, came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah. That's where Ophrah got her name.
Mm.
That belonged to Joash, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress out of the sight of the Midianites. Here we go back to that point of fear and doubt. Okay. And here is Gideon trying to get some wheat together so they can make bread, but he's trying to do it under the cover of night, okay, for fear. The angel of God appears to him and he says, God is with you, O mighty warrior. I love the fact that God sees our true nature, Connie. We don't see it so often, and we certainly so many times don't feel like mighty warriors or don't feel like we have any strength.
Like the song goes, we may see a shepherd boy, but God sees a king.
Mm.
David.
Yes. Yes. And here was David, what, the runt of the litter. You know, the last pick of eight boys.
You said Gideon was, too.
Gideon was, too. Isn't this amazing? I love this. Nan, what's that say to you? I mean, the runt of the litter.
He can use us all. He ministered to us all.
Whether
with a run or not the run, he's there.
Right.
He's there.
And I think God loves to use the unexpected or whatever.
I was just going to say, I think he likes to use the most unlikely candidate.
Oh, yeah.
Just to freak everybody out.
Yeah, totally.
And then he's probably like laughing.
Oh, you know he's laughing. He's going, uh-huh, yeah. And that just takes it out of our realm of our doing it, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you think of David killing Goliath with one swing of a slingshot and one smooth stone.
Right.
Strategically placed right where it needed to be to knock him down and kill him.
Right.
Or knock him down so he could cut his head off.
Right. I mean, amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. We talked about that a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. David. And mm-hmm. and here you see Gideon, and the whole story of Gideon, which we're not going to go into today, is so unlikely and so amazing. And you know that only God could be sitting up there writing the script. It's like a script that somebody's writing for a screenplay, mm-hmm. you know?
For a superhero,
you know? And here it is. It's Gideon, a very unlikely person. And God sits down with him and he calls him, hey, he says, God is with you, O mighty warrior. Nan, have you ever felt like you weren't a mighty warrior, but God told you you were?
Yes, many times. Many times.
Kind of cool when he does that.
It is kind of cool because it reminds you, that's right. I'm a warrior. It like reminds you, wait, let me get my armor on. Let me get moving forward. I am a warrior.
Right. Instead of just sleeping through life, instead of, you know, napping and missing all the victories and all the blessings that God wants to do. Mighty warrior. And the reason he called him that is because Gideon's name meant to fell a tree, to cut down a tree. That's what his name meant. And it meant a mighty warrior. So he was actually calling him what his name meant and what his parents had named him, mighty warrior, you know? And see, God sees us in such a different light than we see ourselves. I'm always amazed by that. Don't you think, Nan, that God's looking at you and sees this mighty superwoman, you know, and the mighty in the word and mighty in the things of the word. And yet,
well, and I just, this is off the subject a little bit, but I just wanted to share this with Sister Connie.
Sister Connie. Those are fighting words.
Fighting words. This morning when we were talking about, you know, you were talking about what your parents named you and you. Well, my name is actually Gracious Gift from God. And my middle name is God is Gracious. So I just thought I'd share that.
Gracious Gift of God. Man,
it's a bunch
really?
Of grace going on.
Wow. Gracious gift of God.
And then her middle name, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them. I don't know if they did that on purpose or not. I'll have to ask them.
Well, that's amazing. All right.
I just had to put that in. Talk about what his name was. Mighty Warrior.
Yeah. Yes. My parents did actually tell me that that was intentional, that they named me Marcia and spelled the way they did because it means heroine of faith, which is cool. And so when I found that out 30 years ago, I decided, sure, that's me. Okay, I'm walking in that. Do you know what your name means, Connie?
I believe it has something to do with consistency and constancy.
Yeah,
and,
it would, yeah.
Yeah,
Connie.
Something like that.
Yeah, dependable.
That would be Connie.
That would be Connie.
That would be Connie, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure, that
she
is.
She lives up to her name. That's mm-hmm. the definition of her name.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
And so here we have the angel of God, who is God himself, sitting down with Gideon. He goes, hey, God is with you, oh mighty warrior. Let me remind you what your name means, Gideon. Come on. You're not this meek little lamb who's all defeated, and you're cowering, and you're so afraid, and so you're threshing wheat out by the wine press so the enemy doesn't know where you are, and you're hiding out. How like God just to call attention to your fact that you're not living up to your name. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, you know, he needed the reminder that he was a mighty warrior. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's times in our lives that we need reminders, and that God places our family, our spiritual family.
Right.
Will many times use one or two of those people to, you know, remind us of who we are and
absolutely.
Where we stand in the Lord, where we need to stand in the Lord.
Absolutely. Know? And remind each other, wait a minute, this isn't who you are. This is who right. you are. This is who God's called you to be. So Gideon replies, and I love the way he replies, with me, my master, if God is with us, why has all this happened to us? We're going to talk about that on the other side of this song by Big Daddy Weave, Redeemed.
Like all I could see was the struggle, haunted by ghosts that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures. This prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed. You set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Set me free.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. 'Cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.
So I'll shake off these heavy chains. I'm not who I used to be. I'm redeemed. We got to change our perspective. I never said this morning either. Another Graham Cook quote. Perception is the key to power. How you see yourself is what how much power you're going to have. We see Gideon right here in Judges 6, and he's going, who, me? You can use me? What are you talking about? You're with me, God? I mean, perception is the key to power. How do you see yourself, dear listener? How do you see yourself? Are you defeated today? Are you discouraged? Are you in the depths of hopelessness? Are you in such grief and sorrow that you see no way out? Somebody told me recently, if one more thing happens to me, I don't know what I'm going to do. And, you know, I think sometimes we can get to that place. You want to comment on that, Nan? Okay, Connie, what about you?
Well, first of all, stop asking for it.
Stop asking for the next thing to happen. Well, exactly. Yeah, that point you made earlier, it's a good point.
And you
quit expecting
hello,
that.
Hello, what are you going to do?
Right.
Stop and pray.
Yes.
When all else fails, even if it's your last resort because you've tried to do it all yourself, pray.
Pray, start praising God, start declaring the word over yourself, start pleading the blood of Jesus over yourself, we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So those are your weapons, the name of Jesus, the praise. You got to start praising God in the midst of it. You got to open your mouth, and I'll tell you what, and I know this from personal experience, when I start praising God, when I don't feel like it, when I make myself do it, it takes me to a new level, and I begin to realize, wow, I feel better already. Okay? I know I feel better already. It's like if you take blood pressure medicine, let's say, and you forget to take it, and all day long, now you get a pounding headache, and now you're feeling bad, and you just feel weird, and you don't know why you're feeling weird, and then it dawns on you, oh, I forgot to take my pill. Maybe it's not blood pressure, whatever it is. And when you take it, suddenly, okay, you begin to calm down and get right back to where you should. You kind of level off. Well, spiritually, when we take our medicine, the medicine of God's word, praise, speaking the word over our situation, the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, beginning to rejoice when we don't feel like it. When we begin to take that medicine,
Turn around.
Total turnaround. You want to talk about Nan?
Yes, I do.
Dale, do you want to talk about that?
Sure, I'll talk about
that. All right,
that,
you please talk about that.
You know, there's so many times we have to really push ourselves. We have to be disciplined. The Lord's been dealing with me about discipline.
Good, I'm so glad.
Are you glad,
Connie? Yeah, we're glad, Nan.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, we're so glad God's getting through to you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, is it? No, but just being disciplined.
Answer to our prayer.
Yeah.
See? That's an example. Prayers get answered.
That's right. Exactly. We love to tease Nan, but she really is doing great. We just love to tease her.
It's part of the relationship with you.
It's part of the relationship with us. That's right. Yes.
But, you know, about being disciplined, about doing that, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes it's just hard. It's really hard to press on, you know, depending on what, you know, you're facing. And there's people listening to us that are facing some pretty rough stuff, you know. And they might say, easy for you to say, you're not where I am.
Right.
But maybe they may not know where any of the three of us have ever been.
Right.
You know, and things happening in our own lives.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's discipline, and you must press forward.
Right.
And as you do, just as you say, God meets you there. It's like all of a sudden things get, you know, things don't necessarily change automatically. We change.
Right.
Our perspective changes. What is the most important thing? We're just here for a while. This is not our real life.
This is temporary.
We're just passing through.
This isn't where we're going to live.
No, thank God.
Well, and I'm so aware of that right now with my mom, that she's getting ready to go be with Jesus and all of those and our family and friends that have gone before. And you realize that is the goal. The goal is to slip out of this earthly tent. you know? There's a poem that hospice has in their little book. Connie, you've probably read it. Just Gone From My Sight, that little book. And basically, my sister was reading it to me amid tears the other day. And basically, it says, you know, it's not that. It's just that you can't see them anymore. They've just gone into that new realm, you know. And that's where our mother is getting ready to go. And she's kind of, like one nurse told me today, she's got one foot here and one foot there, you know. And just getting ready to go on over to that side. How beautiful is that? That's where our dear Jeannie is and so many others that we know and love.
Well, look at how peaceful she was today talking to Jesus.
Oh, totally. Totally.
I mean, she, if you think about the chaos and the stress that she's had in the past and all that, you know, she's constantly worrying about who she is, where she's at, who are you, you know, all
can't
those questions over and over and over that I can't even begin to imagine that frustration.
Yeah.
And to have to keep asking those questions, you know that it's causing such distress in her. And then yet today she's just laying there talking to Jesus like you know, just a conversation.
Just a conversation. You know, that's interesting you said that because I've kept a message, I'll have to play it for you, on my phone from about a year ago when she left me a message one night and she had no clue where she was. She was in the place where she lives, the assisted living. But the message was very distraught. Where am I? What's going on? Am I supposed to be going somewhere? What am I supposed to be doing? Just anxious thoughts, you know, not understanding at all. And of course, now she's not able to really talk, but this that she was speaking today was unintelligible to my or the nurses to my, our understanding, but she was happy talking to Jesus. And you know, it's just that realm, you know, that realm. And we've got to keep in our hearts the fact that we are only here for a short time, and what we do on this earth, what we do with our calling and our destiny, we can say no to that calling. I find it so interesting that Gideon had an opportunity right here. God says, hey, oh, man of warrior, you know, man of valor or a mighty warrior. That's what he called him. And Gideon started to argue. In verse 13, Gideon starts to argue with God Almighty, who's sitting there calling him a mighty warrior. And he goes, me? Are you kidding? Why has all this happened to all of us? If God's really with us, why? And I think so often, Nan, we fall into the why trap. And we got to understand, and we can't understand.
Right. I think, you know, it's just not fair. Why is this happening to me? You know, you see people around, you know, that seemingly things... Some people seem to have things happen to them that are really bad. And then there's those people out there sometimes who seem not to have anything, you know, almost just, and seriously, just almost not have lots and lots of bad issues, you know. I know my mother has faced some things with family members, death of family members and situations like that. And she kind of is, she kind of leans towards depression too, you know. So put the two together and she's like, you know, she'll kind of get... I don't want to say belly aching. Not so much. She doesn't say that much, but she does say stuff once in a while, you know. And it, you know, it's like, and then she can see other friends of hers or people that she's acquainted with who maybe aren't facing certain things. You know, they seem to have a rosy life. They seem to have a rosy life as well. So they seem as if nothing ever happens in their lives. And so we will sit around and say, "But why, God? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Why?"
It's reminding me of this verse in Matthew 5, verse 12. It's right after the Beatitudes, and Jesus has said, you know, blessed are you when all those things, right? Mm-hmm. And then when he gets to verse, maybe it's 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In other words, Jesus is saying, you're blessed when you're having a rough time. You're blessed when you are having all kinds of stuff come at you. Go ahead, Con.
Well, you know, we wouldn't really call it blessed. It doesn't feel like we're being blessed. But also I would say that there are a lot of people who appear to be doing well on the outside, and the bottom line is that they're crumbling on the inside.
Sure.
And they can only hold that up for so long.
Exactly.
They can only, you know, they may look like they have all these cars and these houses and these kind of things, and a lot of times in actuality, they're so far in debt they can't see above ground.
Sure.
And it's their pride,
right,
that's keeping them there. And when they do fall, they fall horribly hard because of the pride and all the
sure
kind of misperceptions or lies or
right
things that have been done.
Exactly. All that is true. So there are times that even though people may appear a certain way, they're hurting on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Gideon here asking God all these questions. Why are we going through this? You know, it's okay to ask God why. I mean, it really is. Yes. But amazingly, I find in my life, God rarely sits down and gives me a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's why. It usually unfolds in time and we see it. Don't you think, a wise one, Counselor Connie?
It unfolds, and it doesn't always unfold like, this is the answer to question number one, and this is the answer to question number two.
Right.
It's these things start happening, and then the realization happens, and you put two and two together and get three sometimes, and sometimes you get five, and sometimes you do get four. But
right.
And, you know, and sometimes when you're so wanting to have the answers,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might jump at the wrong answer
mm-hmm.
to just do something because
right.
you feel like you need to do something.
Right, right.
And so that's not exactly what he wants you to do either.
Right.
Because that just causes you more strife and
well,
more
absolutely.
Issues.
And so often when we get caught up in the why, I don't know about y'all, but you helped raise your nephew and nieces, I mean, your niece and nephews. But when kids are little like that under the age of 4 or 5, I remember when my kids went through the why, everything was why, you know, and I had 3 of them under the age of 4. And so they were like, well, why, mommy? Why? You know, and it's a lot of times there's no reason why the grass is green. It's just green, you know, and
chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll. Yeah, there is a reason, I guess. I should know that as a biology major. But I mean, sometimes we almost act like little kids, don't you think? And
yes.
we're just, God, why? Why is this happening to me? And again, sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, God is saying, just trust me. Just relax. Just lay back in my arms and trust me that I see the big picture that you can't see.
Mm.
And that's what's gotten me through this past week.
You're saying relax.
Uh-huh. Relax.
I know
relax.
That's a new concept for you.
Tommy Bahama's relax.
You do need to relax.
I do need to relax.
Yes.
Yeah, I stay
You're
keyed
on vacation
up.
This week.
I am
right.
on vacation
relax.
This week. Relax. And when I was on medical leave at the end of the year, I ran across, God would show me all these little lessons, you know, and, mm-hmm. and we'd do cool things together, and he'd show me neat things. And I have all that journaled and typed and in different forms. I have it all.
And indexed.
Indexed. It was an important time in my life, Sister Connie.
Mm-hmm.
But what
she only uses that term
I
when
don't
she
know.
Wants to
oh,
make
wait,
a point.
Yeah, when she's trying to make a point to you.
Or she wants to.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's rather a derogatory
seems
term.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
So, yes,
but
Connie.
Go ahead.
What comes to me, one day, I can remember, I can see it. That's what it said, relax.
Really?
And it was like, that was my lesson for the day, was to relax. And then the next day, he gave me the lesson again, relax. That's like
it must have been because you didn't do it the first day.
Yeah. But he wants us, you know, sometimes it is so hard many times to relax in him.
Right.
Sometimes relaxing in him may mean just sit back and watch, I'm taking care of things.
Right.
But we like to say, but God, I think I need to help you a little bit.
Absolutely,
you know?
We do.
And so we try to step up to the plate and help God when he's doing
right.
it. So we shouldn't be saying, why? We just need to rest in the knowledge that he is in control, that
Amen.
He is with us, and that all things will work together for our good, Woo. According to his word.
Amen. We're going to come back and talk about this more in our second hour. We're so glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are in the Tampa Bay area. We have a church locally, and it is in Clearwater, and it is on Almerton Road, easy to find, 3700. And we welcome you to our Sunday services. They are at 10 a.m. It is at 10 a.m. And then we have the live radio show every Sunday here on this station at 4 o'clock from 4 to 6, which is carried, by the way, worldwide on the web, which is kind of cool. And so you can actually listen to www.tantalk1340.com. We also now have Facebook, and it's pretty cool, isn't it, Connie?
Yes, we have a Facebook page, and we are... Madeline is recording our services.
Yes.
Our Sunday morning services. So you can go there to Facebook if you have a Facebook account. If you don't have a Facebook account, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com.
There you go.
And look for services, and there will be the recordings there under
right.
services.
So you can do it both ways, facebook.com/beaconofhopeministries, or go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, and see all those. Station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. So this is our second hour. We're having a great discussion about Gideon and actually practicing the presence of the Lord, because Gideon had gotten himself into a lot of fear and a lot of doubt, which we're going to talk about here in a moment. You know, so often God just wants to look at our hearts and see what our hearts are made of. It says in Ezekiel that God was always roaming the earth looking for those whose hearts are completely his. And I love that verse. And he's looking for those whose hearts are completely his. And that's what he was looking for when he found Gideon. And he said, this is the guy I'm going to use. So stay tuned for this hour, because we're going to get in some nitty gritty about Gideon that's going to bless you. Practicing the presence of the Lord in our lives. We have a prayer line, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Who can use that, Nan? And what's it for?
Anybody can use it.
Anybody.
It's if you have a
You don't have to be
need.
A member of Beacon.
No, you don't have to be a member of Beacon. And just... you have a prayer need, just send it into prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. There's a prayer team. So someone from that prayer team will pull that off, and we'll then send it out to prayer warriors who
right.
are out there praying.
Yeah.
And if anyone is interested in becoming a prayer warrior with the group, part of the prayer team, they can do that too. Just send in that request to the same email address, and they can be put on the list.
prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Connie, what happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope?
Wednesday night we have prayer, short prayer service, prayer meeting, and then we have, at 7 o'clock, we have our Bible study. Interactive
cool.
Bible study.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yes.
People get a chance. Everybody gets a chance to, in fact, Pastor Jim and I both try our best to get everybody engaged in the conversation, and because I think that as people participate, they learn more. Bring your Bible, bring a notebook. We set up tables. You can bring your lunch, your dinner, mm-hmm. and come and get involved with the Bible study on Wednesday night. It's a fun place to be. Mm-hmm. We have people that can come on Wednesday nights, but they can't come on Sunday because of work schedules and vice versa. It doesn't matter. You don't have to come to both services to be able to come to one, so we encourage you to come.
We have our praise team rehearsal
yes.
afterwards while we're cleaning up, setting, taking down the tables and stuff. So if you want to get blessed with praise music, hang out, you know.
Hang out and join in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? Listen. Oh, one of our favorite songs, and one that we did this morning in our praise and worship service, you guys, the praise band did, is a Casting Crowns song, Listen to Our Hearts, and we're going to play it right now. Wonderful song.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west and runs as deep as it is wide? You know all our hopes, Lord, you know all our fears. Words could not express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear.
So listen to our heart. Hear our spirit sing a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough to tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had a thousand years, I would still run out of time. So if you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, thank you for the way. And listen to our heart. Hear our spirit sing,
and hear us sing
a song of praise that flows,
a song of praise
from those you have redeemed,
those you have redeemed.
And we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But when words are not enough, tell you of our love, just listen to our hearts.
What an awesome God you are. Lord, we just bless you right now, and we thank you because you are that awesome God. And Lord, when we are going through rough times in our lives, you always promise to stay with us. Your word says you will never leave us or forsake us. What an awesome God you are. Lord, you know there are times that we get discouraged, defeated, and we just don't feel like going on. And some of our listening audience may be there in that place today. Lord, listen to their heart. Please listen to their heart and know that they love you. And Lord, we love you. We pour out our love to you today, and we thank you that you accept us right where we are. You forgive us, and you love us so very much. So listen to our hearts, mighty God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're an awesome God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Woo, Nan, you got the internet up. If anybody wants to write a comment to us, they can right now.
Yes, they can.
Pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com. They can send a note. They can send, hey, how you doing?
Huh? Hugs and kisses.
Hugs and kisses. They can do whatever they want to do. Let's go back to Gideon, guys, in Judges chapter 6. So God said to him, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. And Gideon questioned, why? Me? Who am I? He even went so far as to say, you know, our clan is the smallest clan, the clan of Manasseh, in Israel. And to make it even worse, I'm the runt of the litter. You know, we talked about that a minute ago. Gideon thought he was the runt of the litter. And in verse 8:16, God says to him, I'll be with you. That's it right there. I'll be with you. You know, it's just
what
it.
You need.
Bottom line. Just like he said to Joshua after Moses died, I'm going to be with you. It doesn't matter what happens to you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be right there. You know, don't you think, Connie, that's the promise that we need to hang on to? Which, by the way, the Bible says 365 times in the Word, I'll be with you. You know, I am with you. Go on.
One for every day of the year.
Yeah, one for every day of the year. Woo!
I mean, who else would you want to have with you?
Mm-hmm.
Help fight battles, help keep you on track, help.
He's the one.
All he wants is for you to talk to him.
Right. I am with you. You know, no matter what it is that's going on.
Communicate.
Right. I am with you. Whoa. Praise God. So then we go back here, and we are in Judges chapter 6 about verse 16 or so. And Gideon decides to go make a meal for God. I find it interesting. You know, sometimes we want to do things for God. We get caught up in doing stuff, don't you think, Nan? And God really is watching. What is it we want to do?
We like to do things worse. Our mind is worse. By our works, we think we can have, you know, be pleasing unto God. Right. He wants us to do things that he's called us to.
Right.
There's a difference there. You know, right. Just scurrying around trying to figure out what I need to do. I need to help this person. I need to help that person. And it's good to help people. But it's depending on what the motives are. You're trying to get to God. You don't have
brownie
to do
points.
Any of that. Yeah, you don't get brownie points with God.
You get weary in doing good.
You can.
You do. And while doing, yes.
Yes, you can. Talk to me about that, Connie.
You just burn out because you're just running around trying to please everybody instead of just stopping and dropping to your knees and talking to God and figuring out what really needs to happen.
Absolutely.
Because you're not going to please everybody. And
people pleasing is a disease, right?
Yes.
The please disease.
Please disease.
Right. Because so often we get caught up in that, you know, trying to get people's approval by doing things for them.
I've tried to do that in a particular person that is in my family, and
how's that working for you?
It doesn't.
Weary and well doing.
What happens?
It doesn't get any better.
Right.
Nothing really changes, and then I get frustrated, aggravated because it's not working.
It hurts your feelings.
It hurts my feelings.
It hurts
you. She knows who I'm talking about. Yeah. She can say that.
It hurts you, and yet you still try to please that person.
Oh, yeah. And I think we do that with parents in particular.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we were here.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I think we do it with our parents. So often we want to please them and we want them to see us in a good light. And so we go overboard to do things that maybe we don't even want to do. You know, we don't want to go to that family, whatever, but we want, mama to be happy or whatever.
Yeah, you know, it starts when you're growing up. As a child, you always want to please your parents. You want to be rewarded. You want to be acknowledged for doing good and being a good kid. And then it just, you know, when you don't get that reward or you don't get that acknowledgement, it's something that's missing in your life.
Right.
And so as you get to be Nan's age,
which is pretty old.
Yeah, it's been missing in her life for a long time.
Long time.
Because she's been, you know, she's been on Earth for a while.
Yeah.
And so, it, you know, she gets tired. She goes, gets really, I mean, sometimes depending on what the situation is, she gets very, very, very weary.
Yes.
And almost to the point of
being grouchy.
Oh, it's beyond that. It's almost to the point where she just wants to give up, you know.
And she's got you pegged there, Nan.
Yeah, well, yeah, she does.
But you know what? You're just human, and we understand that, and we've all been there. We understand that.
Right, and I've been there, and I just had to give up on the fact that it was never going to happen.
Right.
Or it would happen, but in sporadic episodes, you know. And so we just have to know that what God tells you, what he believes about you.
Exactly.
And he's your dad. Mm-hmm. So in a way, he's taking, you know, I mean, he is your spiritual parent. He's your overall big daddy, you know. And as far as he's concerned, you're the apple of his eye.
Amen. He says that in Psalms.
Yeah. So even though our human parents may not feel that you're the apple of their eye, you're the apple of God's eye, and the bottom line is that's pretty dang good.
This is a very important point right here, because I think that a lot of people suffer from fear of never measuring up to parents or siblings or somebody's expectations.
Well, especially in our community, because we're less than, we're treated as less than, we're a disappointment to our family.
Right.
We're a disappointment to our school teachers, we're a disappointment to, you know, our parents and our grandparents and our friends, and, you know, nobody wants to be associated with
talking about the gay community, and so often people feel less than if that is their orientation. Yes. Yeah. And as a result of that, they go about doing things, trying to please the parent, trying to get the brownie points or get the approval and whatever, and so afraid of being found out for who they really are, or even just disappointing, you know, that parent.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I mean, talking about parents in our community, and, you know, they're not, my lifestyle does not meet their approval.
Right.
To say the least.
Mm-hmm.
And, it gets, you know, I feel almost condemned when I go around them.
Sure you do.
And, you know, and it's not a really good feeling. And I got where I wouldn't go there because I felt that way. So Right. Then when I would go there a little bit, I still felt that way. Greater because I was not there often, and it was just, it's just a mess. But God loves us.
But the bottom line is God loves us. And God
and
loves you
too.
The way
they
made you.
They do, too. They love me, too. But
right,
they just
sure.
Don't, you know.
But so often we struggle for our parents or our family or a mate. We struggle for their approval. And sometimes we got to just let it go and realize we're not going to get that approval, and we got to just give it to God.
The bottom line is that the human beings are not going to last forever, but God will.
Amen.
And what you're leaving here as your legacy and what you've accomplished for the kingdom
mm-hmm.
is the only thing that matters.
Exactly. So this is brings us to this point. Listen to our hearts, the song you just had. Listen to our hearts, God. See what we really feel on the inside. Can you see my love for you, God? Can you see my love for those that persecute me? Those that despitefully use me? Those that malign me? Can you see my love for them and my forgiveness? Can you see my heart, God? Listen to my heart. And it's so interesting to me that Gideon goes and does his best to impress God with a big meal. And one of my commentaries I was studying this week said the cost of this meal was $26.70.
Based that's a lot back then.
Back then, it's a lot. Based on what he put into this. You know, he used half of a bushel of flour.
Wow.
I mean, did he think God was a big eater? What? I mean, he made this great big raisin cake. But, I mean, it wasn't just a little tiny piece of cake. It was, this was a big old cake. And he killed a calf. You know, he butchered a calf. I mean, God said,
and
yeah.
And they didn't have many animals.
No.
Because they had been taken away from
them. They had been
him.
Taken from them. Think about the sacrifice. Go ahead and make that point.
So, yeah. So, he took an animal that would have fed his family or
right.
his tribe
right.
and gave it to God.
Gave it to God.
Gave it to God.
Gave it to God. How cool is that?
Like offerings, like
tithes.
Wow.
What a novel idea, right?
Wow, yeah.
And Gideon did that, and he took that. He took all that. He took time, and God said, don't worry, I'll sit right here and wait on you. Which to me is
that's
a fascinating
funny.
Point because God is so humorous. He really is. But to say, Gideon, go ahead, knock yourself out. Go make the big old meal because I'm just going to sit here and wait. I'm just going to relax here under this tree. Amazing to me. God does wait on us. He waits on us to come to our senses. He waits on us. Don't you think he does?
Well, you know, I was just as you said, I was thinking about, and you mentioned it today, I was thinking about the book, The Shack. And
yes.
How,
yes.
You know, how that
I need to read
supposed
it again.
I do too. That supposedly that's some kind of fiction,
mm-hmm.
but I could just see all of that happening.
So
all of
true.
It. And, you know, and the things that their perspective, hearing their perspective of the things that we think that they want.
Right.
You know, and that we're doing because of them, but yet, you know, and they kind of just like laugh it off. You know, look at this. Look at my kid.
Yeah, look
at
my
how
kid.
He's doing.
And it's you got to think that's what God's doing here. He's sitting here under a tree relaxing while Gideon goes and knocks himself out and makes this a big, huge meal. And then when he brings it back, and here it is, the angel of God says to him, take the meat and the unraised bread, I'm in verse 20, place them on that rock and pour the broth on them, and Gideon did it. Now, I mean, instead of God sitting there and eating it, okay, he's doing this as an offering for God. Then in verse 21, the angel of God stretches out the tip of the stick he was holding and touched the meat and the bread. And then what happens, Nan?
Fire came out.
Fire came out of where?
The rock.
Have you ever picked up a rock and had fire come out of it?
I picked up some hot rocks, but fire never came out of them.
Right. I mean, even fire from, I mean, even lava, volcano rocks, you don't see them whole, you don't see a rock and then suddenly it bursts into flames in front of you. It may be hot and the result of the molten lava and all that, but this was a miracle, and God symbolizes himself so often with fire. There's a reason for that. Because fire burns things up. Fire burns things up.
And you also use fire to clean things.
It's a purifier.
Yeah. To burn off the nasty.
So what happens if you're trying to purify gold?
You boil it, and then yuck comes to the top, and the pure gold is below it.
And they rake it off. They rake off the impurities. Mm-hmm. This is what God's doing in our lives by the fire. You say, well, wait a minute. Is there any fire in my life? Are you going through some really bad, hard times right now? That's fire. That's God burning the junk out of you. That's God allowing you to have some horrendous situation. And I love, again, what Graham Cook says. God by his, in his infinite wisdom, could change things. The wisdom of God could change, but because he loves us so much, he allows us to go through all the stuff that we go through because he knows that's what's best for us.
He loves us too much to leave us the way we are.
Yes. Is that tears I see?
No.
Oh, okay.
I had another thought and it just went when I...
Okay. He does. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to change and see ourselves in different light. Because as we talked about a minute ago, how you see yourself is your key to power. You see yourself as the warrior. You see yourself as the mighty warrior. You see yourself as one who is striving to be everything God wants you to be. You see yourself as one who loves God with all your heart and all that. You're going to have more power if you see yourself that way. If you see yourself as a defeated, discouraged, oh, everything happens to me. Woe is me. The old song from Hee Haw. What is it? Doom, despair, and agony.
On me.
Mm-hmm. Deep, dark depression. Misery. If all I had was bad luck, I don't know.
I had no luck at all.
You know, that was, remember when those old farmers would sing that on Hee Haw years ago? I know you guys are too young for that, but
We saw the reruns.
You saw the reruns.
Last week.
Yeah, okay. And that's so often when we see ourselves like that, the defeated one, we see ourselves beat down and discouraged and nothing goes well and everything bad is going to happen and it is happening and we get into that negativity, we lose our power.
Go ahead. You're talking about like feeling defeated or what, you know, I can remember here sometime back, you know, of a lot of just kind of battling depression. And I, you know, would go do what I need to do on my job, but I would go to bed.
Right.
And I would stay in bed and kind of pull the covers over my head and don't want to face whatever's going on. And, I mean, Connie was very instrumental in sending me texts, get out of bed. in the Connie way, she would say, you know, but we, you know, those were times I saw myself just as whatever, just there, just whatever. But I see myself as a warrior now.
Right.
And it's such a difference. That's, you know, before I could see myself as a depressed person, not want to deal with anything, and the issues were still there, whether I dealt with them or not.
Right.
You know, versus, okay, I'm a warrior. God is going to help me through this. I am a warrior. I can fight this. I can win.
Ooh, with that said, listen to this Casting Crown song, Face Down.
I try to find way to tell you, some way to show you what you mean to me. There's nothing new. I exhaust myself searching. The world just keeps turning. What else can I do? 'Cause I find myself empty and face down, having nothing else to cling to. In me. this freedom I will be.
Of allowing God to humble us, to change us, allowing that broken process to happen, and it is not an easy place to be. Especially when our dreams and our goals and everything we thought was going to be a certain way radically changes, and suddenly we're not on the path we thought we were on. We're on a different one and we feel broken. We started today with Isaiah 61, 1 through 5, our vision for Beacon of Hope, where Jesus stood up, and that was the first sermon he preached in Luke 4. And he said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. You know, and so often we have to get to that place of true humility and brokenness for God to be able to really use us, Connie.
Just yanks it, the rug right out from under us. You know, I mean, it that's what it feels like when you're at that point where you just have to give in. You just have to submit and let him do what he wants to do.
Absolutely.
I think what I was going to say before when I lost my train had to do with the fact that, you know, as we go through these trials, it would behoove us to do what he asks us to do the first time.
Which is?
Whatever it is he's doing in you.
Ah, right.
You need
in
to
other
do
words,
that.
Obey?
Obey. Otherwise, it keeps coming back to you. Learn that lesson.
Yeah.
You know, we have these... competencies at work.
Yeah.
And you read through the thing and then you go, you take the test. Well, if you don't get a certain percentage, then you don't pass. So you have to go back through and take the test again. Okay. So, and it doesn't tell you which one you missed.
Oh.
Okay. So, at least he will tell you which ones you missed. But you have to keep doing it until you pass the test.
I hear you. Getting ready to do that with real estate this month. And mm-hmm. I know. And if you don't do it and you don't pass, you don't have your license.
Right.
And so what you're saying is so often in our lives, we have these tests we are going through and we don't even realize sometimes we're in a test. Mm-hmm. That's how foggy we are sometimes.
Well, yeah, something kind of along the lines of what she was saying. A lot of times we expend a lot of energy battling against what God's trying to do in our lives. I mean, it takes a lot of energy.
Really? We battle against what God's trying to do in our lives? Well, talk about that.
Shocking.
Why do you say that, Nan?
Well, maybe we have a calling on our life.
Yeah, there you go.
And we're going to run from that calling.
Like Gideon could have run from this right here.
Right.
He could have.
Because maybe we don't want to do that, or it's going to require too great a commitment. Maybe. Just maybe. Going to require too great a commitment. We don't want to commit. I don't want to commit. Why do I want
to
commit?
You battle
against God, what he's trying to call you to do.
Well, and why don't people want to commit, though?
Because they might have to go to Africa.
What if God said you don't have to go to Africa, but you do have a calling on your life for America, and still people don't want to commit? Why?
Because they feel like they have to give up their whole, well, they, and they do. They have to give up their way of what they thought their life was going to be.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's no longer me, my, all about me. It's all about me, 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 me. Instead, it is surrender, surrender, surrender. Mm-hmm. I'll say yes, Lord, yes to your will and to your way. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, Gideon had to do it right here. We're in Judges 6, and we're seeing Gideon, who was called a mighty warrior, and Gideon had to fall in line with that statement, that that's who he was. Even when it meant inconveniences, it meant, as we go on with the story, which we're not going to do today, but it meant him stepping out in acts of faith, huge acts of faith. Nan, talk to me. What keeps people from answering the call of Almighty God, who has our best interest in his heart? He is not out to make you suffer. He's not out to cause you to, whatever. I mean, he's not out for your bad. He's out for your good. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it kind of goes along with what Connie said. I think selfishness many times comes into play. Because we just don't want to give up of our time.
Right.
You know, it might mean I might have to get a call at 3 in the morning and have to go to the hospital because someone's in an emergency room and they're not sure if they're going to make it. Well, why would I want to get up at 3 in the morning, the person might say? Why should I have to do that? I don't want to do that. Don't want to open up to have to do that. You know? But they're going to be miserable running from God. Having done that.
tell us about that.
Yes, Jonah, go right ahead.
Running from the call of God in your life is just...
Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have done that within the past 2 years. I think about a year and a half ago I was doing that. And it's very painful.
We've all done that. We just like to tease you.
It's okay. It's just part of...
You're teasable, man. You're teasable.
It's the way we interact with each other.
It is.
It's okay. It's no problem. But running is... running is actually, in my opinion... many times more difficult than it is just answering the call of God in your life. Because it's like, you know what? He was giving me poems during all that time, of course. And it was like, everywhere I turned, he was there. You know, he's there everywhere. You know, you turn to go there, he's there. He's, you know, just wanting to, you know, use me to minister to people or whatever he would call me to do. And he wants to do that with people that are listening today.
And so often we think God will forget that he called us.
Nope.
He made the elephant.
Huh?
He made the elephant.
Yeah.
The elephants never forget.
I mean, you know, I mean, I struggled with the call of God to pastor in 1984 when God called me. And I really, really did not want to do it. Praise God I did. I wouldn't
Praise
be sitting
God
here today.
You did, or I wouldn't be sitting here today.
But I really did not want to do it because I'd been a pastor's daughter, missionary's daughter, and all of that, and I did not want that life. I knew it was hard. You know, I knew it was difficult life. I knew what I saw my parents go through and the struggles in so many areas of their lives because of the call of God on their lives. And it was like, I'd rather have a different life here, God. And it was a difficult decision. I praise God and thank God that I answered the call that snowy morning in December of 1984, knelt at my little altar in my office in my bookstore and said, okay, God, whatever you want, I'll do. And never have turned back. It was difficult, Connie, to make that decision. And I think the people get scared about what God is going to do. And I think this explains sometimes why people kind of get out of the groove with God. You know, they're going along. You know, we see them sailing along and they're growing. They're reading their Bible. They're excited. Then we don't see them at church for 5 months, mm-hmm. a year and a half. And they quit returning messages. They just disappear, fall off the edge of the earth. And I think a lot of it has to do with afraid that God's going to ask them to do something deeper, a deeper commitment, more obedience, don't you think?
Yeah, and you keep teaching about all these people who they're not stellar people that are doing things miraculously for God. And so that's proof to them that, yeah, they're going to be picked.
And they're going to be picked. Right. Yeah. And, so, you know.
But
go on.
I'm joking, but still, what we see in those stories about, or you know, as you talk about these individuals and how they answered the call of God in their life and how they fought, it's the human thing to do to say, I'm not worthy, or I can't talk, I can't do this, I can't do that. And yet they were successful and they were mighty warriors for God. And so, I mean, when you tell it in that way, you know, you can be the same. There's nothing, just because they're written in this book about their life,
right,
doesn't mean that it can't happen nowadays at present
okay,
time.
But let's take this Gideon. Let's take David. Let's take these different ones we've talked to about, Saul, Paul. And when the call of God came, they may have been resistant like I was. They may have said, I can't do that. Who, me? What? Just like mm-hmm. Gideon did right here in the mm-hmm. story today. But there comes a point where it's decision day.
Yes.
Okay, where there is a fork in the road. Okay? Want y'all to picture a fork in the road, because I've been at that fork many times in my life.
My favorite poem is The Road Less
Road
Traveled.
Road Less Traveled. I was just thinking about Robert Frost's poem, because he said it's convenient to go down that you know, I used to memorize it. I have no mm-hmm. clue how it starts now. But then there is that road that it looks like nobody's, you know, been on, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like desolate mm-hmm. over there. And that road represents the call of God on our lives.
Well, you know, the call of God, you know, I kind of felt like he was calling me and kind of was, you know.
When was this, Nan?
Here a while back.
Here a while back. Okay.
So,
while back.
Here while back.
Back. All right. And I kind of felt like I was going to say yes. But if you remember, I interviewed you.
Yes, you did.
We went to a restaurant and we sat down and I had typed out questions for you. I interviewed you.
And you bought my lunch, too.
Bought you lunch, too.
And that was nice of you.
No problem. Thank you for meeting me.
Mm-hmm. She's so polite.
But that was important, because I wanted to talk to someone that I see is in ministry.
Right.
And that I just had to have some questions answered.
Right.
And on, I think it was November 8th last year, at about 2:40 in the afternoon, I said yes to that call.
Exactly.
And that was after I had interviewed you. And that was really special to me.
Amen.
That was really special to me.
And that doesn't mean that life is going to be easy.
No. There's
actually, it's
difficult,
just kind of the opposite.
It is kind
You're
of the
opposite. You're going to have to really, yeah. Because Jesus said here, we read it in Matthew 5. In fact, I still have it open to that. Matthew 5, 12. Is it 12 or 11? Blessed are you when people insult you. Oh, my. I've been really blessed this week.
I have been so blessed this week.
When they persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so we come to these forks in the road, these crossroads times, and we have a decision, like you had a decision in 11. Nan, to say, was it 11?
It was 11.
Yeah. To say, okay, God, yes, I'm going to answer the call, your call on my life, or, nah, let's just revisit that at a later time. And I think this is what a lot of people do, Connie. They just revisit it and put it on the back burner and shove it back. And then what happens is they lose their zeal for God. I've seen this in years of ministry. They quit being excited about coming to church and being in the Word, and they quit reading, and they quit reading their devotional, and they quit fighting, and they quit all that. Because really, they're flying away.
Scared.
Starting a new series this Wednesday night. It's called Fight or Flight.
This should be good. This is going to be good.
Stay tuned on the YouTube, peeps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Fight or Flight. And, you know, I think this is a big, big problem in the Christian community, mm-hmm. is that too many people fly away. They fly away. And I'm not talking about going to heaven here. I'm talking about flying away into anything that can distract them from the presence of God. We are talking in this series right now on Sunday morning and on the radio, practicing the presence of the Lord in our lives, not just letting it go. I mentioned this last week, and Bears mentioned again, I was married to a doctor for many years, and he had a practice, in fact, a family practice, nice office. Before that, he was an ER doc, but he had to get up and go and practice that trade every day. They call it a practice of medicine, right? Because what he knew when he got out of medical school was nothing what to compare to what he knew 30 years down the road. Right. And then 30 years down the road, you've seen this, you've seen that, you've seen that. Oh, yeah, that's what that is. Sure, that's what it is. Yeah, get this. Let me write you a script. No, go get this x-ray, blah, blah, blah. Right? The practice of medicine.
Absolutely.
It's the same with our spiritual lives.
Mm-hmm. We have to not treat it like a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just kind of visit it when you feel like, or you have the money for it, or if you have this or that. It has to be a daily walk.
It's commitment daily. Time.
Yeah.
You know, God's calling his people to commitment.
Mm-hmm.
He's not putting up with people going, sure, Lord. I mean, in fact, you've heard me at Beacon say different times, don't sing this song if you don't mean it. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Old song. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord, yes. But so often we sing that and we don't mean it at all. We're singing because everybody else is singing.
Yes, Lord, maybe.
Yes, Lord, maybe. Let me think it over.
Yes, right now. But I'm thinking no.
Yeah.
Or maybe once in a while.
Our attitudes show the no. Our attitudes, our commitment, our staying awake, our reading our word, our quoting the word, our fighting. It shows where our heart is. And we just did that song a little while ago, Casting Crown song. Listen to our hearts. God, listen to our hearts. Do we really want God to listen to a heart that is, well, maybe, I'm not sure, you know, hesitating between two opinions? Talk to me about that, Nan, because you've been there. I've been there. Connie's been there. But we're going to use you as our poster child.
Hesitating between two opinions, did you say?
I did say that.
I think...
She's speechless.
I'm speechless. We weigh things. We put things on a scale sometimes.
Oh, okay. Good.
You know, one versus the other. What am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to do? Well, I don't really know. You know, the most important thing you can do is really submit to God.
Yeah.
Answer whatever the call, whatever he has on your life that he wants you to do. And then move forward in that. And that is the, I mean, I just love that about it. You know, that is just so cool.
The most important thing in our entire life.
Absolutely. I mean, the most important thing.
The most important thing?
The.
Not accumulating treasures here on this earth.
No.
Houses and cars and clothes and
they don't
blah, blah.
Stuff. They don't go with us. They don't go with us when we're going to heaven.
None of it goes, right?
None of it goes. It all stays. You can't take the trailer behind you.
Right. None of it goes.
It's just, it goes, you know. But, I mean, it's you need to weigh. You know, make an educated decision, too. I mean, you know, do I really want to do this for God? Do I recognize the commitment it's going to take?
You know when,
and if you don't, you cannot make that decision. But he's still going to be there talking to you about it. He's still going to be around.
Still going to be he's pulling you and tugging at you.
For I know the plans I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
plans
true.
To prosper you, not to harm you.
Jeremiah 29:11-14, which is the anchor scripture for this show these 6 years. I know the plans I have for you, plans to bless you, to give you a future and a hope. God knows those plans. Mm-hmm. And I said this earlier last week because I said this to God. I said, okay, God, I thought you said to me in a prophetic word about a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And God, I pulled out my little book where I'd written it. And I said, look, see this right here? You said this was about to happen. He said, yeah, that's my perfect will. That's what I wanted to happen. But we can short circuit the perfect will of God by saying no to the call of God, and then it won't happen. Yes, that is what God, some of you need to hear me out there right now. I mean, we all need to hear this. Even though God's got great and mighty plans for you, you can short circuit God's plan by getting your attention so diverted in other directions.
Or not committing to what to his will. And allow him to do what he needs to do in us.
This is heavy duty stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my. Gideon answered the call of God, and we're going to go on with him next week, I think. I never know, but I kind of think that's where we're headed. There's so much wonderful stuff in the life of Gideon. When God called him a mighty warrior, Gideon must have, even though he said, who, me? He must have got on board with it because of his actions. Your actions prove your heart. Breathe by Amanda O'Martian.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you.
Praise God. Oh, we do that song at Beacon of Hope, and I love that song. I'm desperate for you. Wow. Oh, this is the air I breathe. It is you, mighty God. Connie and Nan, I really feel like this show has taken a turn that is very interesting to me, and it's really gone into what Isaiah said to God, here am I, Lord, send me. It's really gone to that, and I believe that you know, so often we talk about the different things about Gideon, but I don't know that I've ever taught this concept this strongly, and that is that when Gideon placed the meat and the bread on the rock and God touched it, the fire came out of the rock and it burnt up all that human effort. It burnt up all the effort to please God, all the effort to all that. Not that we don't want to please God. I'm not saying that. But the things that we do to please somebody else, we got to let that go. And we've got to want to just fall in worship to God more than anything else.
It's kind of like the worthy, weary and well-doing.
Yeah.
We're spinning our wheels trying to make somebody happy when it's not going to happen.
Right.
And we just need to spend our energy for God.
Absolutely. When you have the call of God on your life, as I do and the two of you do, then, you know, our lives look different. they feel different than the average person out there, don't you think, Nan?
Oh, most definitely.
You know, with even if you're like, if I'm at a family thing and everybody around me is, I know I'm not the person exactly that they are looking at and interacting with. They're interacting with the sister or the mother, me being these mm-hmm. different roles. Identities, roles. They're looking at the aunt or whatever the case may be. But even though I am all that, the real me is this servant of God who loves the Lord with all my heart and is doing my best on a daily basis to follow the calling. You know what I'm saying?
Most definitely. I mean, that's who we really are.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a mom. Yeah. I'm a sister. I'm right. a daughter. I'm an aunt. But that doesn't define who I am.
Right.
I am who I am in Christ.
Exactly.
And that is who I really am.
That's your real identity.
That's my real identity.
It's like a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your costume's on underneath.
There you go.
Just
exactly.
rip open your shirt.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so God looks at our hearts. That's what we've been saying today. And he says, I can use you. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to you to say, okay, sign me up. Because we have a free will. Or we can sit there and say, God, I don't want you to use me because I can see right now the handwriting's on the wall. I'm going to be inconvenienced.
But he's not going to let it go.
But he keeps after you.
Mm-hmm. He does keep after you. I experienced that.
Yeah, you're a poster child.
Man. I'm a poster child.
She is from running from God.
Run away.
So is Jonah. I want you to get acquainted with him when you meet him in heaven.
I do. I spend a lot of time acting like him. I do want to meet him.
But the good news, Nan, is that at some point you came to your senses and said, I'll be all yes. you want me to be.
Yes.
I'll fulfill your calling on my life. There are some of you out there right now who need to hear this today. This show went a different direction than, and we never know where it's going anyway. It's totally up to the Holy Spirit. Totally. We don't have notes. We have nothing. We just follow the leading of God. There are some of you out there right now that have been so beat down by your circumstances that you don't feel like you are any good to God and you couldn't be used of Him in a mighty way. Listen up, dear children. God wants to use you. He wants you to realize he's got a plan for you that is bigger and better than anything you could ever imagine, that everything that you think about your life is nothing compared to how he sees you. Oh, my. Oh, Connie, can you find that Jeremiah 29:11-14 again?
Sure can.
Let's read it. And Nan, give me a final thought here. What do you feel like people need to hear from you today? And Connie's getting ready to read these verses. What do you want them to hear? This concept of following God, here am I, Lord, send me.
Well, I can just would like to encourage them not to do as Jonah did.
Right.
I'd spent months doing as like Jonah did, running from the call of God on my life because I was afraid of the commitment level that it would take, because I knew the commitment level it would take. But the rewards, oh my God, the rewards of being in his perfect will for your life, the rewards of answering the call in your life is so magnificent, you know, it's so wonderful. One thing I like to say in Jonah, I spent time reading Jonah as I was acting like Jonah, and it's interesting how it starts out with the word of the Lord came to Jonah and said da, 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 da. So he did all his little thing, he went riding in the well and all that stuff he did. So it later this says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, and he was and he was exceedingly glad. He received it.
That's
he received
good.
It. You know,
that's
he received
great.
It the second time.
Right.
And I would just like to encourage them, if whatever call God has on their life, answer it. The rewards are great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
even here, the rewards in heaven is what really counts.
Absolutely.
But the rewards here are just great when you see that God's able to use you to minister to a small child in a Sunday school class or wherever you're, you know, called to serve.
Right.
And you see lives change around you as a result of you being obedient. The rewards are great.
Amen. Whoa, good word. Jeremiah 29:11-14, Connie.
Look what my bookmark says.
What does it say?
Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men.
Amen. Amen.
Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. plans to give you the future you hope for. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else.
More than anything else.
I'll make sure.
When you get serious about me and want it more than anything else.
Than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make sure you won't be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a pretty darn good guarantee.
It's an excellent guarantee.
Because, you know, no human being can give you a guarantee like that.
No. Wow. Wow. Do you have a final thought? Is that it?
That's my final thought.
All right. Okay. Let's go back to that last song, Breathe, and put it a little lower. I want to talk over it. You know, in all of this that we've been talking about today for the last 2 hours, God is speaking to hearts, and I know He is, and there are several that either have been listening live or will listen in the future. And if you are one of those and you can feel God touching you and you can feel that He has something bigger for you than you've been willing to commit to, don't waste any more time, because this is your moment. This is your moment of accepting the will and the call of God on your life. Just do it. Just do it. Step out in faith and realize that He's the air you breathe. He's all you need, no matter what it is you're going through. And He wants you to become desperate for Him and for His presence in your life. He wants you to require Him more than you do your daily food. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you, mighty God. I need you, Lord. Listen to those words. Your holy presence living in me. We pray for you right now that you will hear the voice of God in your life and you will answer His call for your life. That you will require Him as you do your daily bread. Require His word. I'm desperate for you, God.
I'm desperate for you.
Bless our audience, Lord. Let them draw close to you as a result of today. God bless you in everything that you put your hand to. May you prosper this week. If you need to contact us, my email is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. And we are here for you. Come to a service Sunday morning at 10, Wednesday night at 7. It's not far to Jesus, and that's what it's all about. Jesus living big in you. God bless you. Have a great week. It's been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Connie Farmer, Nan Watson, sharing the Word of God with you this day on Living the Good Life. See us next week, all right? Tune in. And tune in on Facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. Have a great week.
Close your eyes and safely to His side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust Him with your heart. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far. It's not far from here to Jesus. That far, it's not far from here, Jesus. It's not far from here.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233 BF Little Rock.